Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Your name today, Lord. We thank you, God. Hallelujah for your presence. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, where the presence of the Lord is, Lord. Hallelujah. When you come in, you fill the temple, Lord. We recognize, Lord, your spirit, Lord, and we thank you and we praise you today. Hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate God again for the song, Wait. I think that's one thing that we as people, we have to develop a spirit of waiting on God, because we want things like right now. You know, it's got to happen for us. We got to be that instant society. We're so used to things happening like that. But one thing I can honestly say, God can and will cause us to wait. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, we asked you, if you would today, to look at a couple passages of scripture with us as we are looking 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verses 18 and verse number 1. Then we're going to look at verses 41 through 44. And it is a lot of scripture in between there that we have to go back and give the backdrop or the backstory of what we're going to be talking about today. But I think that you will be able to get the gist of what we're saying. As we look at 1 Kings 18 and 1, if you would, please rest on your feet if you can. And we want to reverence the reading of the word of God. Again, if you can't, no problem. We understand that. But for those that are able to stand, please read this silently as I read this aloud in your hearing. And if you're here today and you don't have a source of the word of God via your phone or your tablet or the Bible, the hard copy, just invite your attention to the big screen and you can see the scriptures up there. In 1 Kings 18 and 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after many days," somebody say many days, "that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servants, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up. And he looked, and he said, There's nothing. Everybody say, There's nothing. There's nothing. He said, There's nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. Verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say to Ahab, Prepare thy chariots, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Eternal God, once again, we are gathered in this place, and we know that you have, Lord, a word for us. So, Lord, let us, Lord, be hearers of that word and also doers of it. Let us be found, Lord Jesus, really, God, seeking, Lord, the understanding of what you have for us today. And Lord, please, as your servant, lend me your anointing that, God, as the word is preached, that it will be so symptomatic, Lord, that, Lord, even the scripture says a fool need not err. Let us be found, O God, again, receiving your word and, Lord, causing it to do what you would have it to do in our lives today. And Lord, if there's anyone that has never repented of their sins or been baptized in your name, today is a great day to do so, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you're seated, please let me invite your attention back to verse 43, and I'll read it in part. And he said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up, and he looked, and said, there is nothing. The remaining time that I have, I'd like to minister to you from this thought. Look beyond what you see. Now, if you're standing next to somebody, turn to them and say, neighbor, what do you see? God bless you. You may be seated. Now, there is a lot of ground to cover when we look at this account. We would look at chapter 17 where it really all began. And then we have to go in, fill in from verses 1 all the way down through 44 to really get the idea of what has happened. So if you would allow me to do that and understand that as we do it, there's a lot of scripture to be covered. So what I'm going to do is ask you Bible scholars, because you know the word of God, go back and research it. But it just simply, again, starts out in the 17th chapter, and it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Wow. Your word is so powerful. You put it in the atmosphere, and God says, I'm going to show you that he's my man. You continue to read, you know what happens. For 3.5 years, there's no rain nor dew on the earth. This puts him in a position where God is saying, okay, now what I need you to do, I need you to go to this brook, and daily you'll have your provisions, you'll have water, the ravens will bring you food, and you know the account. And then after a while, because of his word, the brook dried up. Now the Lord says, don't panic. I got another provision for you. I've got a widow woman that's going to take care of you. I just need you to be obedient and go to Zarephath. And so as he goes to Zarephath, the Bible says that he goes there and he sees this woman. She's collecting some sticks, gathering them up. And he says, excuse me, could you get me some water? Somebody said they were in a drought. I don't know if you've ever looked at this account, but it amazes me she had no problem going to get him the water. Water was hard to come by, but she was willing to get the water. So as she steps off to get the water, he said, and oh, by the way, make me a cake. Make me one of those little cakes. And she said to him, modern day vernacular, sir, you must didn't get the 411. I'm a widow woman. Matter of fact, what I'm doing now is gathering this wood to be able to make a fire for the little cake that I do have. Me and my son going to eat it, and then we're going to die. Being the man of God that he was, he said, okay, I understand, but make me one first. Now, see, most of us right there, we would have just got up and said, I'm leaving that church. Oh, he's self-centered. He's thinking about him. But no, you've got to understand what God has given her, an opportunity. Turn to that person and say, don't pass up the opportunity. An opportunity to be a blessing to the man of God. And in retrospect, is going to be blessing to her and her son. So the Bible says that she began to tell him, I just got a little small cruise of oil and a little cake. And he said, okay, go ahead and make it, but make me one first. And she was obedient to it. And he told her, he said, from that day forward, the oil's not going to run out, the meal's not going to run out until the day that it rains again. And sure enough, it happened. And you know the account, if you continue to follow the story, her son falls prey to death. The man of God is then called back. He prays over him. The young man comes back to life. Now, I'm just trying to get you to where we're at now. Now what God tells him after the 17th chapter, now I want you to go and reappear. Make yourself known. And that's where we come into that 18th verse or chapter in verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. It wasn't going to rain until 3.5 years later. 3 years. And then the Bible says, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Somebody said, if God said it, that settles it. God said it's going to rain. Just like y'all see that rain out there this morning, it's going to rain. Now, if you go, and we've got to fill in the blanks here. Now, from here, what happens, we find that now he makes himself known. It's a drought. They're looking for water. They're looking for grazing. And what happens is there's a man by the name of Obadiah. If you go back, Obadiah is the governor of Ahab's house. And he says to him, we're going to need to find some grazing, some grass, so we don't lose the mules, we don't lose the horses. And he said, now we're going to go on this land, we'll divide up, you'll go one way and I'll go the other. And Obadiah does just what he says. And so as he's going, all of a sudden, here is Elijah. Obadiah recognizes him and immediately he falls to the earth and says, are you Elijah, my servant, or the Lord, my Lord? He says, yes. He says, now what I want you to do is go back and tell Ahab that I'm here. Obadiah says, wait a minute. What sin have I committed that you want me now to go to Ahab, who has been looking for you all over the country, and say, here he is? As soon as I do it, you know what's going to happen? The Spirit of the Lord is going to carry you away. And Ahab is going to kill me. He says, sir, I love the Lord. Do I got anybody here that love the Lord? He wanted to state the case that I love the Lord and I've been serving the Lord. Matter of fact, did you hear what I did when Jezebel took and slew the prophets? I took 100 of them. I put 50 in a cave here and 50 there. I gave them water and bread. Now, how's that for serving God? But now you want me to put my life in jeopardy. He said, as long as the Lord, thy God, liveth, I will not disappear. I'll be right here when you go tell Ahab. Now pick up. This is where we find him. He goes and he tells Ahab, I found him. Now we find Ahab confronting the man of God. And I do need to read this because you need to find out how this encounter takes place. And when he says to him, verse number 18, and he answered, or verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. I'm telling you what really the issue was the leadership. God caused the drought because of the leadership. We've got to be careful when we're in leadership to follow what God said do. They had forsaken God and began to worship Baal. And so God says, okay, I'll fix you. For 3.5 years, you won't get no rain or dew. But he's trying to label the man of God as a troublemaker. He says, no, that's not it. Now, what Elijah says was, what I need you to do now is call all of the people and gather them to come to Mount Carmel. I like to say, for all you movie buffs, Westerns, they used to have a shootout called OK Corral. That means that was at sun up or sun, they're going to have those men ready to shoot it out. Well, this was the shootout. He said, now go get the prophets, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the grove. And since y'all outnumber me, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a bullock. You have a bullock and I'll have a bullock. We're going to prepare it. We're going to dress it. We're going to build an altar. And we're going to place the bullock on the fire, on the altar. But nobody lights the fire. The God that answers by fire, that's the God. When he did that, the Bible says, and the people answered him not a word. We got to start talking back, y'all. We've got to start talking back when we know something is right and support it. So now here they are. They're at Mount Carmel, and you know the account. They're preparing it. They're doing it. They take their turn first. And the Bible says, from morning to noon, they cried and called on Baal. Baal didn't answer. Then the Bible said they jumped up on the altar. Still didn't get no results. Then they, around the time of the evening sacrifice, still no results. The Bible said they cut themselves with knives and lanterns. Kind of sound familiar today. People call themselves empowering themselves. So they start slitting. After that, that Bible said they were bleeding all over the place. I can imagine Elijah. He comes in and he says, now, move aside. It's my turn. Well, the first thing that he did, he called the children of Israel together. And the Bible said he rebuilt the altar. I'm trying to look at everybody in the face. It's time for you to rebuild your altar. Amen. The Bible said that the altar was broken down. How does our altar get broken down when we don't utilize it? First things first, they rebuilt the altar. Now he says, move aside, it's my turn. He takes his bullock, the Bible says he dresses it. He takes the wood, places it, puts the bullock on it, and he says, listen, I want y'all to dig a trench. Dug a trench all the way around the altar. He says, now what I want you to do, go get 4 barrels of water, and I want you to douse the altar. Douse the wood and make sure you get a lot of water on the sacrifice, the bullock. They did it. Then the Bible said, he said, do it again. Somebody said, that's 2 times. He didn't stop there. Then he said, do it again. That's 3 times. So say 3 times. The Bible said that the water was so much, it filled the whole trench around it. And now, this is the part I love. Because some people don't realize how powerful your prayer life could be. How your prayer life can change and bring people to Christ. Now, it doesn't take a lot of words. So I numbered the words. And this is what he said in his prayer that day. And it came to pass at the time of the evening offering and sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and he said, quote, unquote, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Then he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me. That these people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Your prayer can call somebody to God. I don't care how long they've been backslidden. I don't care how deep in the world they are. Your prayers can turn them back to God. The Bible says after that 63-word prayer, the fire fell from heaven, consumed the burnt sacrifice. The wood drank up all the water around in the trench. And then it said, and when all the people saw it, somebody say all.
All.
Remember I told you people are watching you? And when all the people saw what happened, they fell on their face. And this is what they said. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is God. He is the God, the Lord. He is the God. And now from that point on, you know what happens. He rounds up all of the prophets, 450, and he takes them down and he slays them. He said, don't let any of them escape. That's the problem. Some of y'all have let situations escape instead of handling them. Instead of dealing with them, instead of cutting it off, he said, don't let any escape. Then after that, now we get to where Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Now, I don't know who they had back then as the weather forecaster. I doubt if George Myers was back there, but I guess it was, no, these are going to be clear skies today. No overcast, no rain in the forecast. But he said, I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. Somebody said, that's a lot of rain. He's hearing it, but he's not seeing it. How do I know? Continue to read. So Ahab went up and drank, and Elijah went up to the Mount of Carmel, went up to Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. There's some that have now tried to disprove this and say that he wasn't praying. Well, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, to me, that is a posture for prayer. Because when you go back in James, it says, and Elijah was a man like us. But he prayed earnestly, but it not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the rain came. So I believe he was praying. His posture, down, knees, face to the ground. And when he prayed, as I like to say, he said to his servant, go up now. Looked toward the sea, and he went up and he looked, and he said, there is nothing. Everybody say, say it like you mean it. Now, he says, there is nothing. Now, the Bible goes on to say, he sent, not he prayed, but he sent his servant back 7 times. He didn't pray 7 more times. No, that one time. Because he had an encounter with God. God told him, it's going to rain. But it took his servant 7 times. Now, you listen. The only thing I can say to validate the number system is that 7 represents completion. 7 represents perfection. 7 represents fulfillment. And so maybe it took him 7 times for it to focus. Let me ask you a question. Anybody ever took their eye test? They're trying to calibrate your eyes and make sure. And they put that thing over you and they say, okay, now what do you see? Is it clearer? Or you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it took his servant 7 times for it to calibrate. Maybe it took 7 times for him to get to the place where his faith was saying, okay, I see something. The Bible said, now after the 7th time, that's exactly what it says. After the 7th time, it came to pass that he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. So now, the focus is starting to come clear. But all what he sees is just a little something-something. Some say it was just a little something-something. the size of a man's hand in the sea. And now Elijah took that as to say, now you got it. You look beyond what you can see. And now you see this little hand like a man's hand. Now he says, now go tell him. Somebody said, I can see clearly now. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Rain that hadn't materialized yet. But now he believes, because he went and told the king. You continue to follow the account. The next verse under, and I'll just leave this account alone. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Somebody shout, a great rain.
Great rain.
And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Now, to show you the supernatural power of God, listen to this. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. All I could say, that brother Musker, he beat a chariot, a team of horses that had a head start. Don't tell me God ain't supernatural. So now we find, as I'm winding down, look beyond what you see. Although things may look bad for you today, pertaining to your job, some of you are seeking a better job, and for whatever reason, they're holding you at bay. They're not giving you that job. Or maybe your job is saying, we're going to have to lay some people off. Or maybe in your relationship with your children, you got miscommunication, or should I say no communication, and you're losing them. You feel, or maybe your marriage seems as though it's on life support. What are we going to do now? Things are just going south. But let me say this. We, somebody say we. Means me. Say it. We means me. We who are in Christ Jesus need not worry about things, how they appear. Look beyond what you see. Tell that neighbor, what are you seeing? Stop believing what you see and start seeing what you say you believe. In other words, you've got to start speaking those things as if they have already come to pass. I know I've got some kids right now, they're grown adults. And I'm saying, God, you know what's been put in them. And the Lord is telling me, he spoke to me in the message. Maybe this message ain't for you. Look beyond what you see. Stop looking on the outer appearance. Y'all do know there's more accounts in the Bible. Lets us know to look beyond what we see. Remember when the man of God went to David's household to look for the next king, and his father brought all of the sons, the different sons, and you know who they were, and he said, nah, this is not it. He said, do you have any more? He said, yeah, I got a son out there with the sheep. He said, tell him to come on. What were they doing? They were looking on the outer appearance. And God said, don't look on the outer appearance, because I look at the heart. See, some of us, we're not looking beyond what we see. we're just seeing a person, man, they keep on messing up. They might be. But God is working underneath the dirt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, listen, you've got to realize that. Speak those things as though they have already come to pass. Because you and I know our God is a promise-keeping, never-failing God. Somebody ought to say amen. What he has said he will do, he will do. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how long the time frame. If God said it, that settles it. And if we know that God's time is the best time, guess what? Same thing held true back then. It was God's perfect timing when the rain should come. Because God has the best time. God's time is best. No matter what you're going through. Because he has a plan and he has a purpose for what he's doing. Look beyond what you see. Can I get you to stand? Stop being so asphyxiated on your situation. Stop looking at it from a point of negativity. And start realizing that God is giving you an opportunity that in the midst of it, to do as David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. If you could begin to magnify God in the midst of your calamity, watch God move. Watch God move. Look beyond what you see. Every head bow and all eyes closed. Eternal God, you know sometimes the message is just for me. I feel I need to share it, but maybe this particular message was just to encourage me to don't look at the now and learn to look beyond what I'm seeing. Lord, maybe there's somebody in this congregation today that has been looking at the wrong thing. They've been seeing the wrong thing. Lord, give them another look, a positive look, one that, Lord, everything is going to be all right. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Father, we ask you right now, God, as we have assembled ourselves this morning, we also, Lord, are blessed to have, Lord, a social media platforms, live stream, Lord, with YouTube and Facebook, and now what used to be Anchor, Spotify. We ask you to minister, Lord, to all of those that are out there, Spotify. And Lord, that you would just minister, Lord, let them experience the presence of God that we're experiencing right now. If you're here today and God is speaking to you, you're welcome to come to the altar. You're welcome to say, Lord, I need my vision corrected. I need to start looking beyond what I see. Are you here? God bless these that are coming down to the aisle, altar. The aisles are open. No chains binding you to keep you in your seat. We just want you to come up for prayer if that's in your heart to do. God bless these again that are coming. We want to pray. We want to pray the prayer of faith, knowing that God can and will come through. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. I got to give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I got to give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive. And with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.